Kapitel Kuf Chav Gimel, Kapitel 123. Shir HaMa'alot, Eilecha Nasati Et Einai, Hayoshvi Bashamayim. To you I have lifted my eyes, you who reside in the heaven. Now I want to point something out. The Radak, we're talking about thousands of years ago, Rav David Kimchi, one of the Rishonim, whose Perush is one of the major commentaries on Tanakh, says over here, Nasati kishi yedaber lashon b'nei hagalut pam yedaber lashon yachid derech klal upam derech lashon rabin. Let me explain what it is that I want to tell you about. He has been commenting on these chapters of Tehillim from the perspective of a Jew living in the Gola, looking toward Eretz Yisrael. For example, chapter 122, Shir HaMa'alot, LeDavid. Samachti, I was happy, V'omdimli, when they said to me, Beit Hashem Nele. So the Radak says, Ha'olim HaRishonim, those who came up first to Yerushalayim, stood there waiting with anticipation for fellow Olim to follow them. So Samachti, I was happy when they said to me, let's go up to the house of God. Ondot hayu ragleinu b'sharayich Yerushalayim. Our feet stood in the gates of Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim habinuyah, they built Yerushalayim. So the Radak says, Ombnim b'nei hakalot, the people who live in the exile say, kishayta binuyah Yerushalayim. When Yerushalayim was built and the Shechina was in her midst, how beautiful she was. Yerushalayim habinuyah. They're not talking about Yerushalayim now, but these are people of the Golan who say, oh, Yerushalayim, when it was in its beauty, how great was Yerushalayim. In the chapter before that, just in every one of the chapters, he says that he explains it from the point of view of Jews who are living in the Gola. In the chapter that we're learning now, 123, so he says, Nasati et eini, what he wants to explain is, Nasati et eini, I lifted my eye, this is in the singular. Now, if we're talking about Bnei HaGalut, the people of the exile, that's not a singular, that's a plural. Now, if we explain that it's talking about David HaMelech, so then he can say, Nasati et eini, et einai, I lifted mine eyes. Esa einai el ha'orim mayayin yovo ezri. But the Radak who says that it's all being said through the perspective and the eyes of Jews who are in the Golan, so how do you say a singular, Nasati et eini, now I lifted mine eye. So he says, sometimes when you're talking about the people of the exile, sometimes you can talk about them in the singular, which means all of them, or it can also be said in the plural. Why am I telling you this? It's a good question why I'm saying this. At the first Shir HaMa'alot, chapter 120, you don't have to look there. The Radak over there says the following. What's the meaning of HaMa'alot? And he gives three pshatim. The first pshat is Shir HaMa'alot is because they were the songs that were sung while the Levim stood on the 15 levels in the Beit HaMikdash, the Ma'alot, the steps. The second pshat that he says is the Gemara that we talked about, that when David began to build the foundations for the Beit HaMikdash, So the waters of the depths began to rise up and were going to flood the earth. So David HaMelech put the name of God on a shard and put it in, and the waters went all the way down, but they went too far down. They went 16,000 amor down. And the Gemara says, each time he said Ashir HaMa'alot, the waters came up 1,000 cubits. So if it went down 16,000, with the 15 Ashir HaMa'alot, he brought it up 15,000 cubits. And there the water is. At the 1,000 cubit level, there are great reservoirs of water, so the Gemara says. But then the third chat in the Radak is Shir HaMa'alot. He says, V'yesh v'farish ol, his third chat. Ki Ma'alot HaGalut. Ma'alot means those who come up from the Golah. Sha'atidin Yisrael la'alot l'Eretz Yisrael, because Jews are going to come up to Eretz Yisrael. Ve'elu hashirim, all of these songs were said al lishon v'nei hagalut, as though the people of the galut are saying it. V'zachar behem, and what's mentioned in these 15 are the tzaros of the galus, the tzaros of the galus. V'zachar behem tochelet ha'yishua, and he also mentions the hope, looking forward to salvation, the haftacha, and the promise shetihiyah, that there will be. And I'm sure it must have been something in the neshama of the Radak that he chose to use that third shot as the one, how he sees all of these problems, all of them. You know, when he says Omdot Hayu, our people standing within your gates in Yerushalayim, it's like the Jew of the Golan who's looking forward to the moment that he will stand there, or it is the Jews who have finally made it and are standing there and waiting for others to come. Why should we be the only ones that made Aliyah? You come here and have a taste what Aliyah is too. So he says here in chapter 123, he says, Nasati et Einai, I lifted mine eyes, Hayoshvi Vashamayim, to the one who dwells in the heaven. Now here, you know, sometimes you come to a Pasuk, a Rashi, and all of a sudden you remember something from the old days. And I remembered something, and I even found it, and I was so impressed with myself, you had no idea. That was enough. I didn't have to learn any more that day. What kind of word is Hayoshvi Bashamayim? What's the Yud doing there? What would it have been wrong if it would have said Hayoshev Bashamayim? Rashi says two words, Yud Yeteira. It's an extra Yud. Okay? The Ratak says Hayud Nosefet. The Yud is added. V'hukamo, the word is, as though it meant Hayoshev, Yoshev Bashamayim, the one who dwells in heaven. So why is the Yud there? So of course there are those who will say that the Yud is there, and I imagine that what Rashi means, and many other questions say the same thing, and it's some kind of a biblical poetic style, Hayoshvi Bashamayim. So I remembered a Ksav Bahakabala. Ksav Hakabala on Oz Yoshir. Yemincha Hashem Ne'edori Bakoach. Your right hand, O God, is mighty in strength, beautiful in strength. Ne'edori. Rashi says, Yud Yeteila, an extra Yud. Kamo, where else do we have extra yuds? Eicha yoshva vadod ha'ir rabati am sahati tamidino haita lamas. That's the first pasuk in Eicha. What it really means is Eicha yoshva vadod, how does she dwell alone? Eicha yoshva ha'ir rabat am, that has a lot of people. She is a one who rules over states, and now Yerushalayim is
is destroyed. So the Ksav HaKabbalah says, he says in a very beautiful way, he says it may not completely be an unnecessary or extra yud. It may not be only a yud that represents some kind of a form of biblical poetry. There may be real significance to the yud. You know what a yud does? You know what a yud does at the end of a word? How do you say an Israeli in Hebrew?
Yisraeli.
Now, what are we? Yerushalmi. Okay? Now, there's a Talmud. Good. And there's a Talmud. You're doing so well today. Right? Now, what does the Yud do in these cases? I don't know. Well, maybe we can call it possessive. It descriptive, but more than that, it means you're not just somebody who lives in Yerushalayim. Your essence is Yerushalmi. It's a little better than being Tel Aviv, you know, or Ramallah-y. You understand?
It's certainly better than that.
That's certainly better. Now, in each one of those cases, Babli, Yerushalmi, Yisraeli, Chayfani, Ephrati, all of these are nouns. What's happening over here, Ne'edori Bakoach, or Hayoshvi Bashamayim, these are verbs. So he says the following. Let's take a look at a number of other places where we have it. Yesterday we said Hallel. Hamagbihi lo shabes hamashbili lidot bashamayim avarz. God is the one who raises and casts down. Magbihi. What do you mean magbihi? Magbiha. What do you mean mashbili? Mashbil. In other places it says mashbil geyim or magbiha shvarav, not magbihi and mashbili. So he says, just like the letter Yud after a noun, Yerushalmi, gives a sense, not some a description of a person, but there's something permanent about that. You are Yerushalmi.
Okay.
She's saying possessive.
Because it's like my Yerushalayim. I am a Yerushalmi and it's my Yerushalayim.
You know what? I'm beginning to like what you're saying. It's not precisely what he says. He says it represents the idea of permanence. Now, I'll tell you what he says and then we're going to go to what the two of you say and I'm ready to accept that. I think it's good. When you say somebody is magbiha shefallen, he raises the low, or mashbil, he lowers the conceited, it could leave the impression of occasionally, you know, he does this, but that's not something that's part of his character and personality. When you use the yud, you turn it into a description of God. You know what he is? He is the raiser of the low and the lower, the one who lowers the high. It defines him. It describes him. He's a Yerushalmi like we are Yerushalmi. He is Magbihi Lashavet. He raises people. He's Mashvili Lirot. Yoshvi Bashamayim is not simply, you know what God's address is? You know, God, North Pole, or God, Heaven. Mikud 0000. Okay? Yoshvi Bashamayim, the Yud, turns what's really a verb, the one who dwells in heaven, turns it into a description of God. I wouldn't ready to accept what you say, that he's Yoshvi Bashamayim because Shamayim is his. He Magbil Hashavas, Mashbili, right? You know, it means, but I think possessive is in a sense the same thing as that's his essence. That is his essence. What?
Master of heaven?
Yoshiva Shemayim? Yes, so it means not merely a description of he dwells there. You want to know his address? His address is heaven. Yoshiva Shemayim represents a description of God. It's his. He owns it. He made it. What's beautiful about this is it makes sense. It sounds good. And, you know, just the idea that there's an extra Yidalah, there's no extra Yidalah. Every yud has its function and it has its meaning. And the Ksava Kabbalah is a master at doing this throughout Torah. I always find that I tell myself, you know, I'm going to go through that whole Ksava Kabbalah, meaning then, but then I'll have to remember it also, you know, that's going to be the more difficult part. Shir hamalot eilecha nasati et einai hayoshvi b'shamayim. Hine, we look at you, Rabbeinu Shalom, ke'enei avodim eyad adoneim, like the eyes of servants to the hand of their master. To the hand of their master means sort of that the servant is bending and bowing, and that hand of the master can either be the hand that is going to be extended to give something to him, or the hand of the master can give an afras. You know, there was such a thing as slavery. Ke'ene shivko yad gebirto, like a maid servant to her mistress. Kain einenu el Hashem elokeinu, so are our eyes to God our God. Ad she'yichonenu, until he will grace us with his favor. The word that is going to be used in this chapter is the word chayim. It's about that. Moshe Rabbeinu in Parshat Kitisa, he asks the Rabbeinu Shlalom, Har'ein yedrochecha, show me your ways, how do you conduct yourself? So he says, V'richamti et asher arachem, V'chanoti et asher achon, V'richamti et asher arachem, I will give grace and favor to whom I choose, and I will be merciful to one whom I choose to be merciful. Chayim is always something that is undeserved. It's something that hasn't been earned. It's a gift. It's a gift from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And what we're asking is, we're not worthy. We don't consider ourselves worthy. But what we're asking for is do something for us, though we are unworthy. Choneinu Hashem, Choneinu, the Beishim, show us favor. Kirav Sofanu Vuz. Now, it's from this point on and further in this Gepitl Tehillim that I can see why the Radak wants to put it in the setting of a Jew in the Gola who is looking toward Eretz Yisrael, because he says, Rav Sovanu Buz, we have been sated with so much Buz, shame. Dirty Jew. I mean, we've had so much of this throughout all of history. He's talking about the Jew in the Gola. We're sated already. We've had enough of it. Even in cup, we've had it. Ravat sovalo nafshenu. We've had so much have our souls been sated with halag hashanani. Halag is the sport, the mockery, the fun that is made of us by the sha'ananim. The sha'ananim are the complacent, the peaceful ones. They're living in, you know, shalom v'shalva, and upon us they heap such abuse. By the way, nothing has changed since the days of the Radak. Nothing has changed at all. It's unbelievable. Habuz l'ge'eir. Huh? Nothing's changed. It's only gotten worse. Because now you know about the booze instantly and all over the world. Habuz ligayonim. Habuz, the shame and the mockery of gay yonim. Interesting word. Most people, I would be thrilled to hear if anybody has an English translation, how they translate gay yonim. according to the the way it's read, it's supposed to be read as though they had two words, Ge'ei and Yonim. Ge'ei comes from the word Ge'ei, the conceited ones. Those who are full of gaiva.
Proud.
Proud? Perfect. Because the word Yonim is a second word. Now here you can't make a mistake with the word Yonah. Because the first thing that you think about the word Yonah is tweet tweet, you understand? A dove who's full of peace. But there's another meaning to the word Yonah in Tanakh. Yeah. The other meaning to the word Yonah is an oppressor. Now in Torah we have it in a few. Oh, we talked about that pasuk. The pasuk in Torah we talked about 2 weeks and last week, 2 weeks ago, in Parshat Bahar it says, "Al tonu ish et amito," you shall not cheat your friend. And then it says, "Lo tonu ish et amito," don't taunt your friend. It comes from the, there's a halacha. Those psukim are talking about the halacha of ono'a. Ono'a means to cheat, to hurt, to taunt, to oppress. In Yeshayahu and Yirmiyahu, we have a number of times where there's an expression, and it's usually used with regard to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babel, that be careful of cherev ha-yonah, the sword of the oppressor. We don't expect, you know, doves of peace to come with swords. Cherev ha-yonah means the sword of the oppressor. By the way, this may also fall into the fascinating category that we once talked about, but I'm looking for another excuse one of these days to talk about it again. The phenomenon in Lashon Kodesh of words that have two meanings and the two are in sharp contradiction to one another. Huh? I can't hear it louder. Kadesh and Kadesha. In that same parasha over there, to describe something that is ugly, the word chesed is used. Chesed Hema. An ugly relationship is a relationship of chesed. I chesed. Yeah, yeah, it's in Achremos or Kedoshim, trust me, it's there. Or, like the word, I mean, one of the classic that's always used is Lashrish is to cause something to take root. Lesharesh is to uproot. Misa'ef means to, in Yeshayahu, means to cut off a branch. And Misa'ef Purara also means branches that grow. A word for that in English to describe that language phenomenon?
Yeah, but I can't remember what it is.
Now I don't know if it's in other languages, but I know clearly, I mean, Rashi points it out quite often, and there was a period of time that I underlined all those Rashis in Tanakh. Don't ask me now, but there are words that have two meanings, and the two are in absolute conflict with one another. So here, Yonah also, if Yonah means the one who oppresses, and Yonah represents peace, could it be, of course, my devious political mind? They know already what I'm going to say. I'm a mock man. But it may very well mean, you know, a false. You know, you can have a raven in Yonah's clothing in Sitka. So that the same Yonah, you understand, can be also the Cherev HaYonah, the sword of the Yonah. Alright, you know, so we finished this. Let's go to the next one. Let's go. Yes. What number is it again? Okay, wait, give me a chance, you know, I I remember that, but I don't remember what the Nun Vav. Yeah, so what does Rashi say? it can help. David calls himself in chapter 56. He calls himself Yonath Elam. Yonath Elam. You see, in Tanakh, the dove is also sometimes described as a sort of silly little bird, foolish. Kiyona pote in leis. A Yona is described as one who's pote, that you can seduce. You can talk him into anything. A Yona is like a petty, a fool, that you can talk into anything. David HaMelech feels himself at this particular point as Yonah, a foolish dog that's a limb that remains, that is silent, because he finds himself off in exile outside of Eretz Israel, and he feels himself silenced, he feels himself foolish. So there already the word Yonah can mean, from the word autonu ish et amito, just like you can taunt and oppress somebody else with words, you can taunt and oppress yourself. So it's most probably, there's no question about it, that it's probably they certainly are related. Let's see, the Radak says Yonat Elen is Yonah HaGolami Mikomo, like a dove that has to be exiled from its place, and therefore she remains silent. Shirina, she doesn't sing the way she used to sing. She's sad, she's off in the exile. So Yonah is not always something very positive. But then again, in Shir HaShirim, one of the terms of endearment that is used about Klal Yisrael, Yonati, Tamati, Maita. And Chazal say that a Yonah is always faithful to her mate. So Klal Yisrael always remains faithful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Yonah can swing from foolishness to faithfulness. Kof Chof Dalet 124. Shir HaMa'alot L'David. Lulei Hashem Shehaya Lanu Yomar Neor Yisrael. Israel should say, read it the opposite way around. Yomar Neor Yisrael. Israel should say, Lulei Hashem Shehaya Lanu, if not that God was with us, we would have been lost. Lulei Hashem Shehaya Lanu, if God would not have been with us, Kekum Aleinu Adam. The repetition of Lulei Hashem Shehaya Lanu, so the Maharal explains it that the onslaught against Jews has always been both physical and spiritual, or sometimes physical, sometimes spiritual. And Lulei Hashem Shehaya Lanu Yom HaNor Yisrael speaks of one of them. And Lulei Hashem Shehaya Lanu Bekum Aleinu Adam speaks of the other. One is the spiritual, cultural assault on the Jewish people, and the other is the physical assault on the Jewish people. You know what would happen if we wouldn't have had God with us? Azai chayim bilo'unu. They would have swallowed us alive. Becharot apam banu, when their anger burned against us. There is a Mishnah in Pirkei Avot that says, Rabbi Chanina skan hakahanim omer. Rabbi Chanina, who was the assistant to the high priest, said, had they mitpaleil b'shloma shel malchut, you should always pray for the peace of the government. El molei mora'o, because if not for the fear of government, listen to what Rav Chanina Skan HaKalanim says, If not for the fear of government, ish etreyehu, a man, his friend, chayim, below, would swallow him up alive. Ish etreyehu, a man, his friend, chayim, below, would swallow him alive. So the first should say the following. Rabbi Hanina is, throughout Shas, he is referred to as Skan HaKohanim, the assistant, the perennial, eternal assistant to the Kohanim Gadol. Why didn't he ever make it up to become Kohen Gadol? I mean, how long can a person remain a vice president? Either you disappear, or you become the president, right? But he was the eternal assistant to the high priests during the period of the second Beit HaMikdash. Because there was corruption. Toward the end of the period of the second Beit HaMikdash, people purchased the position of Kohen Gadol from Roman authorities. Rabbi Hanina Skan HaKohanim obviously didn't have the money. He couldn't afford to be a Kohen Gadol. It wasn't a merit system where the decision who would be Kohen Gadol was made by the family of Kohanim. It became a political patronage, money greased position. How do you like that? Not a bad sentence, right? That describes what it was. So therefore he was always overlooked because he could never afford it. And take a look, in other words, here's a man whose whole life he is never going to achieve that which he aspires to, which he most probably is more worthy of being than many others. He's never going to achieve it because of corruption. And despite that, the man says, "Hevei mitpaleil b'shlama shel malchut." You should pray for the peace of the government, because in the final analysis, ilmoli mora'ah. If not for the fear of government, you know what would happen. Listen to the way the Mefarshim read each of the next four main words. Ish. An ish is a term that's always used with regard to a man of substance, of importance. Moshe is the ish, Elohim. Ish etreyehu, a man of significance and importance. His friend, his best friend. Chayim, levenikehait, alive, below, he would swallow him up. Swallowing always represents the fact that one is not enjoying what he's eating. You don't swallow a steak. You swallow a steak, you have absolutely no enjoyment. And obviously the enjoyment comes when you chew and you have kavana. Alright. So you hear what he's saying? Even people in their relationship with their best friends, do you know what it is that hangs over their heads and maintains a sense of peace within a community? Government. Because you can never know what would happen if there's anarchy, if there is no police system, you know? You can never trust your best friend. What would happen under those circumstances? And he knows! Rav Chanin is kind of hard and suffer from it. So he says, Ish etreyehu, a man, his friend, chayim b'lo'o, would swallow him up alive. Now you understand, azai chayim b'lo'unu, they would have swallowed us alive. And it was not important to them to have a benefit or enjoy the destruction of the Jewish people. They just wanted to destroy us. And if not for Hashem, Shehoyolanu, if not for the fact that God was with us, levitikate alive, they would have swallowed us up, becharot hapam banu, when their anger burned against us. And you know what would have happened also? Azai chayim b'lo'unu, that pasuk is talking, as we said at the beginning of the chapter, there are two onslaughts against the Jewish people. One is a physical one, to destroy the Jewish people physically. The other is a cultural and religious one, to simply drown us, submerge us in a dominant culture. Pasuk Gimel is talking about the physical onslaught against the Jewish people. Azai chayim b'la'unu b'charot ha'vambamu. But then there's another one. Azai, the second Azai, is talking about the waters that would sweep us away. The waters that sweep us away, that's the metaphor for being overwhelmed, or as I use the word, to be submerged by a dominant society. Nahala Ovar al Nafshenu. Here the word Nefesh Taka means our souls. Nahala is a Nahal, a speeding, rushing flow of water would pass over our souls and wipe us out. Azai Ovar al Nafshenu. Remember, all of this is being said if not for the fact that God was with us. Azai Ovar al Nafshenu, there would have passed over our souls. Hamayim ha-zeidonim. How does it translate zeidonim? Yeah. You've been doing very well today.
Presumptuous water.
Presumptuous?
No. It says treacherous.
Right. Treacherous? Presumptuous, treacherous? We once talked about the word zeid. Not Zaydi, Zayd. How many places can you think of where the word Zayd appears? What were you going to say?
Deliberate.
Deliberate is getting a little closer to Zaydin Helitsuni. Helitsuni, Yamiyot. Where's that pasuk? You remember that song when you were a little girl?
Yeah.
Yeah. That happens to be in chapter 119 in Tehillim, just a few chapters back. Except that chapter 119 is a very big chapter.
Oh, yeah.
It's the Aleph Beis. Each letter of the Aleph Beis 8 times. So it had better be there. If it's not going to be there, I'm going to be very embarrassed.
What happened? Yeah. Nun
Aleph. Close call. Not really. Zaydin Helitsuni Ab Miod. Zaydin Helitsuni, you know what it means? These Zaydin, whoever they are, they made fun of me. Litsunis. They mocked me. Zaydin Helitsuni Ab Miod. We talked about it last week, 2 weeks ago in the Parsha Shir, the idea that litzonis can be mockery, a sick sense of humor can be a destructive force. Huh? Zaydin Helitsuni Abiel, yes.
Is this a brother and Shmon Ezra?
Ulam Yoshinim al Tisifa, the Chol Isha, man, the Chol Azaydin Mehida Sa'ak, Shoyved Oyvim Umachnia Zaydin. Very good. If you're in Shmon Esrei, keep going further in Shmon Esrei. What do we say? In Al Hanisim of Hanukkah, the Shoyim Biyat Sadikin, the Zaydin Biyat Oskei Solosecha. Go before Shmon Esrei. Ezra saw the same on give me a city, yeah. The word Zaydin has to appear in who said that? We just said that.
That's it. That's
yeah, we said that already, yeah. Kol v'choreim harakta u'b'chor kaka'olta v'yamsuch pakata v'zeydin tibata. You oh, this is beautiful, I'm so happy I came here. You know why? Because it's the davening you say, the Zaydim Tibata, you drowned the Zaydim. And what are we talking about over here? Hamayim HaZaydonim. Wait a minute. More than that. When Yitro comes to Moshe and Moshe tells him everything that had happened at the beginning of Parshas Yisro, so it says that Yisro said, Baruch Hashem that he saved you, ki badobor asher zodu aleihem. In the way in which they were saved him, that came upon them. And Rashi explains over there, because they threw Jewish children in the Nile, that's why they were destroyed by the waters of the Yam Suf. The Zayd is a very evil person. His evil expresses itself in a sense of mockery, a rejection. And what happens to this Zayd is what, in other words, he becomes ultimately the great joke. And here we're talking about it's an unusual word that has a very sharp, specific meaning. And here, Hamayim HaZaydonim, these are waters of evil that come rushing upon the Jewish people. And it may very well be the waters are really the attack of the Zaydim against Klal Yisrael. Baruch Hashem, hey, this is great. I didn't even notice this. That's exactly where Yitro said, Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem said, Ki Badovar Asher Zadu, in that which they were evil came upon them. Baruch Hashem, Shalom Tamanu Teref Mishineim, that God did not let us be prey to their teeth. Take a look how he's describing the enemies of Israel. He describes them first as those who will swallow a people alive when they get angry. The next image that's used is that of waters, flood waters rushing. And now he's using a metaphor. He's creating a picture of animals, beasts of prey. Chayis chayis. Absolute beasts. Thank God, Shalom Netanyahu, that he did not let us be teref lishinehem. Prey. Chayto teref are cruel beasts lishinehem for the people. Nafshenu, and here Nafshenu can mean our souls or our lives. And we've pointed this out in our lives. Nafshenu can be the inner spiritual soul, or Nafshenu can simply mean the life that's in us. And since we are talking about both the physical threat against the Jewish people and the spiritual threat, so Nafshenu takes on both meanings. It means both the life forces that are in us and our souls. Nafshenu, our souls, kitsipor, like a bird, Nimlita, who saved Mipach Yokshim from the snare, from the trap. And you know what happened? The great miracle was the following. Not that we didn't get caught. We were caught in the vice. We were caught in the device. We were caught in the trap. But what the Bisham did was the greatest of all miracles. Hapach Nishbar. The trap broke. Vanachnu Nimlachnu. And we escaped. Oh, it's easier to escape when you're not caught in the trap. But when you're caught in the trap, and it seems like all the doors are clanging shut. Gates are closing and you can't get out. And here it is. Hapach Nishbar Vanachnu Nimlachnu. In a sense, my wife and I, we once going through the Midwest on the way to the Grand Canyon. You understand? You know, we don't just go on vacations; we go to for our rookies. Understand? See Grand Canyon. Taki was a shivas at the time. That we ended up in a motel in a place, St. George. Was it Nevada, Arizona? Utah. Well, big travels. I think within a 5-mile radius you can walk from Utah to Arizona to Nevada and a whole bunch of them over there. It's a center where they have about 150 channels of TV, and there's nothing to see on any of them. Don't even bother. But we finally came upon a program by Jews and Christians 10 years after the Iron Curtain fell and broke, and he says the gates are closing. We have to save them now. We have to get them out. We hear gates clanging shut. There's not much time left. And I'm watching this. It's amazing. Not a word is true. But boy, the money keeps coming in and keeps rolling in. The gates are closing. The gates are closed. So what does it have to do with anything? The way in which Jews were saved from Soviet Russia is described best over here. Hapach nishvar, the trap was broken. Until the trap was broken, so there were individual Jews that were able to make their way out. But then hapach nishvar v'anachnu l'motu, and then we were able to flee. The whole trap broke. The gates just didn't close. Or if they did, well, they were closed, and then the gates were opened up again. Zreinu b'shem Hashem, Osei Shemal Nevorot, our assistance comes through the name of God who makes heaven and earth. Okay, come on, let's go further. We're on a roll today. Shir Amalos. Shir Amalos ha-bothim b'Hashem. Shir Amalos ha-bothim b'Hashem. Those who trust, those who have bitachon in God, can be certain that they're going to remain firm and they're not going to fall, slip, slide. Kahar Tzion lo yimot. Just as Har Tzion is not going to be moved, immovable, la'olam yeshev, and will be there forever, so too Klal Yisrael. If they are potchim b'Hashem, then they will remain strong. Rashi says, Lo Yamutu, they will not move, they will not be removed. Kahar Tzion, Asher Lo Yimot, just like Har Tzion doesn't move. Ki Kashe Yerushalayim, Horim Savivla, Kein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Savivla Amo. The picture that, you don't have it, you're on your own now. Yeah. I didn't think I'd get this far, you know. And you know, you have to have a... Okay. He says, just like the mountains surround Zion, and this is the natural protection of Har Zion, so too HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the divine protection that surrounds the Jewish people. Listen to the Radak. He remains true to form. It says, Lo yimot, kemo Har Tzion, shelo yimot, ki la'olam yeshev, just like Har Tzion, Mount Zion, will not move. It will be forever where it is. B'shuv ha'golos, lo yimot, v'lo yecherav la'olam, elo la'olam yeshev. Do you know how important these words in the Radak are? We talk a few weeks ago in some shiur that I said, or was it, I don't know, was it Yom HaTzmaot here? How do we know we're back here to stay? Maybe we're going to have to go into Golos again. I think that's when I quoted the Yom HaTzmaot poll that was taken of Jewish youth in this country, and they were asked, number one, do you plan on joining the army? That was the good news. That's right, I said there's good news and there's bad news. The good news is that the Israeli youth were asked if they plan on joining the army. 78% said yes. 56-57 said they want to go into combat units, which means there, of course, is shattered in one fell swoop the attempt by the left to leave the impression that soldiers are not going to join the army. Our motivation. How do you say that in English?
Very good.
I just wanted to see if you're that motivation is down. Motivation is down. I just didn't love when I heard somebody talk on the radio about escalatio. Yes, escalatio. Come on. All right. So here is the motivatio. And then the second question that they ask Israeli youth is, will we celebrate Yom HaAtzmaut in 50 years from now? And the state made it by the skin of its chinny chin chin. 54% said, yes, we'll be celebrating Yom HaAtzmaut in 50 years from now. 33% were not so sure, and 8% were absolutely certain that the state is not going to last that long. So I quoted a number of sources that make it very clear that the third time Jews come back to Eretz Yisrael, the third time is going to be for keeps. And here we've come upon another source. The Radak learns that Shir HaMalot HaBotim Bashem Kehar Tzion, like Har Tzion doesn't move, and Le'olam Yeshev, it will be there forever, so too when Jews return from the Galut, they will never be removed from here. And La'olam Yeshev. The words are, Kamo Har Tzion, just like Har Tzion, Shalom Yamut, it's not going to move. Ki La'olam Yeshev, it's always going to be there. Bishuv HaKalut, when the exile returns, Lo Yimot, it will not move. V'lo Yechrav La'olam, and will never be destroyed. Ela La'olam Yeshev, it will be there forever. So here is another one of the sources in Tanakh where we have that, as I said then in the name of Rav Herzog, that our prophets talked about a first korban and a second korban. There was never any prophecy of a third korban. So as far as the third return of Jews to Eretz Yisrael, then it is Kahar Tzion Lo Yimot Lo Long Yishev. Yerushalayim is hot in Sabbath law. Yerushalayim has mountains around it, but what does Klal Yisrael have around them? Hashem Saviv Lamo, just like the mountains around Yerushalayim, but we are Hashem Saviv Lamo, may Atav Yad Olam from now and forever. And what's he talking about? Jews who are returning. And the Radak says further, Afal Pi Shehari Saviv Lamo, even though Yerushalayim has mountains around it, Ein Lo Chozek, doesn't make it a strong city. The Yishlutu Agoyim, the Goyim are going to rule over the city. The Yilgidu Ota Eile Me Eile, these are going to capture it from those. The Lo Yiyela Chosek, it will never be strong. Ashiya Am Hashem Betoch, until Am Hashem comes into the city. There were 86 battles for Yerushalayim throughout history, and these took it from those. Echveis, the Saracens from the infidels from the Chalergis, everybody was fighting Yerushalayim. Napoleon never made it to Yerushalayim. Echveis, and the Mamelukes, and the Ottomans, and the Byzantines, you know, sometimes I get so confused with all of them, but they were all fighting about Yerushalayim. He says the only time that Yerushalayim is going to remain forever in anybody's hands is when we Am Hashem is the Tocha. Because when Am Hashem the Tocha, it's not only the Horim that are Saviv La, but there's Hashem Saviv La Amal. Hashem, this is so, I feel so good when I learn these Tzuchim. Especially when I learn them with you, I see the full power. So he says, the Loya, the Radak says, there will not be strength to Yerushalayim Ad Shiyah Am Hashem B'Tocha until the people of God are in the midst of Yiyah. Who's son Lamo? He's going to be around his people. Mo Yelam Chosek Yotem in Ha'adim. His name is going to be greater strength than the mountains that surround Yerushalayim. V'lo Yishmot Hem Oyeh Me'atav Yad Olam. The enemy will not rule over them from now until eternity. Anybody who thinks that we're going, I'm ready to go out on a limb. Yerushalayim is not going to be divided. I don't care what Ben Eliezer says. He can talk from behind his mug and he's making a terrible mistake, and he's going to fall because he's making the same mistake
that they always make. And they'll be, okay, let's go another. Let's finish this. Ki lo yonuach shevet ha-resha al goro ha-tzadikim. Lema'am lo yishkichu ha-tzadikim ba'av latayetem. Ki lo yonuach shevet ha-resha. The staff of evil will not rest upon the destiny of the tzaddikim. God is not going to let the Rishonim rule over us. Lema'an lo yishlichu atzadikim ba'avlos yadayim, so that the evil should not influence the tzaddikim, because the influence that the Rishonim can have, especially Zaydim of the chapter before, the influence that they can have on tzaddikim is that tzaddikim will send their hands to do evil. God will not let that happen. Heitiva Hashem latovim, God is going to do good for the good. V'li yishonim v'libotam, and to those who are straight in their heart. In Torah it says, v'asiso, one of the mitzvahs of Torah is v'asiso hatov v'hayoshar v'eini Hashem l'kecha. You should do that which is good and right in the eyes of God. So he says, heitiva Hashem latovim. Tov means those whose actions are good. V'li yishonim v'libotam, that in their hearts they are, they're straight, they're not crooked people in their heart. To be a sisa hayosha v'hatov happens to be the underpinning of a major idea in halacha. From the sisa hayosha v'hatov, do that which is right and which is good, we learn that a person has to be able to, and certainly chazal have this responsibility, to figure out what's fair. Say in business, what's fair? Yosher is, you know, the human mind can achieve a knowledge of what's fair and what's not fair. The idea of lifnim mishurat hadin, going beyond the demands of the law, that's our sisa hatov hayosher. And the Ramban over there in Tvarim, by that passage says, Torah cannot legislate for you every conceivable situation that is going to arise between man and fellow man. There's no way to codify all of that. What you have to use a healthy cup and a healthy heart. You have to know what's Tov and what's Yosha. One of the famous halachas that our Chachamim established on the basis of the Pasuk Vasita HaTov HaYosha is the din of Bar Metzra. Bar Metzra is somebody, literally it means a person who's on your boundary, on your border. The halacha is the following. Reuven has a field, and next to it Shimon has a field. Reuven wants to sell his field, so he must give Shimon, who's next door, first the right of first refusal. Because the fact is, this will be one of the few opportunities that Shimon would ever have in order to extend his landholdings. The halacha goes further. What happens if Reuven, instead of offering it to Shimon, he sells it to Levi? So Shimon can come and take the field from Levi, pay him the money that he paid. And Levi turns out to have been nothing more than an agent for Shimon to buy it. That's the halacha. And it has a lot of ramifications in the world of business and real estate. V'hamatim ha-kalkulotam, and those who are inclined, ha-kalkulotam, people who are crooked. Crooked over here means people who attempt to besmirch others by finding all sorts of, creating all sorts of things that are bad about them. Yolichem Hashem et Pavalei Ha'oven, let God take them away with those who do evil, and you know what will remain? Shalom al Yisrael. In the last chapter and this chapter, we've been talking really about the battle against the Jewish people. The end is that they're going to destroy themselves. The end is that they're going to be taken away, and what will remain is going to be Shalom al Yisrael. King Yigatzon. I 126. Next week in Yad Hashem, I think I may have to begin the class by singing it.
And,
huh?
Can I ask you what time will the class be?
The class is a regular time.
10 o'clock.
No, it's not 10:15. It's really
10:20 or whenever I see that Kim is ready for class to begin, that's when it starts. Okay. Those who bend and incline people from the word emote.
And how about the next word? What's
this? Calculotan crooked. People who create crooked ideas against
others. That's why the economy is called Kakala?
Except that's with a cough, and this is with a cough.
Oh, that's right.
Huh?
It sounded right.
This is the same root as the Bacchaeus. This is the same. If I would have said that, you would have understood it immediately. They are Mekalkel others.
Right, right.
And I think it's also related to the word cow. People who take things very lightly, they're not serious people. By the way, that's also one of the definitions of Zaydin. Zaydin are just not serious people.
Lightheaded.
Lightheaded.